She loves it hot. He loves it cold. However you sleep, the pod by 8 Sleep adapts to you. Get up to $350 off with code DEEPSLEEP at 8sleep.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download, and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. Today, we're putting on some sparkly slippers and traveling over the rainbow to the land of Oz. From Frank L. Baum's beloved books from the turn of the 20th century to the groundbreaking 1939 film and the recent blockbuster Wicked musical adaptations, the world of Oz has been captivating audiences for generations. In this episode, we'll get a preview of a Boots on the Ground interview from Odyssey podcasters who visited the Oz Museum in Kansas. But before we do that, we'll also hear about zombie fish that sound like they'd be more at home in one of Baum's tales than in real life. And we'll also hear about a modern-day invention that made us think of the emerald glasses from the first Oz book. And, of course, our Oz-themed journey wouldn't be complete without a tornado. Just like the Wizard of Oz movie, we're going to start things off there, with the story of a man whose house thankfully didn't end up falling on a wicked witch this week, because a twister that hit his town actually jumped over his home as it swirled through Miami County, Kansas. Here's his interview with the Dana and Parks Show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City, Missouri.
Commander Jesse Reed, who lives in Miami County and is on his way to church right now to thank God that he still has a home. What happened in your neighborhood last night?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, let me say it's an honor to be a part of the privileged group of tornado survivors.
Thank
like
you.
Scott Parks
Welcome.
Here.
Welcome.
Who slept through an EF-0 once upon a time.
Yeah, right? We joke about the term weather aware all the time on the program, Jesse, but were you weather aware last night? Did you know?
I'm very weather aware, and that's more because of just my fascination of weather. I mean, I was the kid. My mom could tell you these stories. I used to climb up on the roof when the storms would come in and sit in the lawn chair and just watch them roll through. I've always had this desire to want to be close to a tornado. Never had that chance to do that. You know, I don't think any of this was forecast yesterday. I think when we woke up yesterday, mm-hmm. there was no threat of severe weather, no expectation that was going to happen.
Correct.
And I was just going about my day. My family over for dinner. My mom and dad came over. I was out grilling steaks on the grill, and the back of our house faces west, which was the exact direction the storm built and came from. Was basically my backyard. So over the course of a few hours, we just watched the thing kind of build up, and we're talking about it casually. Oh man, look at that. That's a pretty looking sky. And then it got closer and oh gosh, do we hear thunder? And then you could just see this thing continue to build. So I'm becoming more and more fascinated with this because I just appreciate a really good sky like that. And it wasn't until, we're starting to hear tornado warnings. So now I've got Brian Busby in on the kitchen, on the TV, and I'm kind of going back and forth. Oh, there's a tornado on the ground in Ottawa. Oh, that's kind of scary. Oh, it kind of looks like it's heading this direction. And finally, it got to the point where me and my kiddos were on the back deck just watching the storm. And then one of them tells me, Dad, look at this really cool lightning. it's pink and it's teal colored. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound like lightning. And I go outside to look, and there's power flashes from lines getting taken out, which I think everyone who watches videos of tornadoes know that's the sign that a tornado is tearing stuff up nearby. And, I mean, no sooner I'd said, those are power flashes, the power goes out. And I said, all right, everybody to the basement. And we hunkered down there. But that thing came right to our neighborhood through the grace of God. Like Scott already said, it somehow lifted up, did not actually touch down our neighborhood. It did do a lot of damage there, but did not plow through any houses directly. And then right on the backside of our neighborhood, came back down and touched the ground. So
didn't you tell me earlier?
There's some angels looking out for our neighborhood.
Amen to that. But didn't you tell me, Jesse, in our call earlier today, that it was on the ground near your home, and then it went back up? The storm crossed over your house, and then the tornado came back down. Is that right?
Yes, that is according to all the path, the evidence of the path. And then just me driving around this morning, I drove and I watched. I basically saw the point where it was on the ground right near our house, to the west of us. And then, again, kind of miraculously just dissipated, or I don't know what the terminology you would use to say what it did, but it basically went back up into the clouds. And then on the east side of our neighborhood, it hit the ground again and tore up. It's thankfully a lot of fields, and I live out in the country, but you know, just all sorts of power lines down, just snap like twigs. So for whatever reason, it spared our neighborhood with minimal damage, and we're all in our neighborhood. We have a Facebook group, and everyone's communicating on it and just kind of counting our blessings today, especially in light of the fact that just a mile or two to the west of us in Hillsdale, they got hit really hard. So my heart goes out to them. That's really tragic and very close to my house. So I'm very thankful.
You are so lucky, man.
Yeah. That's the first time I've been scared though.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies, with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
So, Reed didn't end up in Munchkin Land, and our next story isn't exactly about flying monkeys. It's about zombie fish. These ominous, real-life creatures are turning up in the deep waters of Lake Superior, stumping scientists. Now the Michigan Department of Natural Resources is trying to solve the mystery of why these zombie fish are dying. This week, research biologist Sean Sitar of the department broke down what we know about this issue so far with Odyssey station WWJ News Radio's Ryan Recker in Detroit.
The zombie fish is actually a highly emaciated, unhealthy version of a Siskoid lake trout. So lake trout are the top predator fish in the Great Lakes that anglers and commercial fisheries use. And Lake Superior has wild populations of lake trout. And the siskoet is the deep water form that inhabits waters from shallow areas. But the siskoet lives in the deepest part of the Great Lakes. And Lake Superior has the deepest spot. And we've actually sampled them at 1,320 feet. And so those, in recent years, we've been sampling the deep water zone to monitor our resources, both shallow and deep water. And we've been noticing that there was a higher frequency of these emaciated fish. They look like zombies when we bring them up from the lake.
So why are they a problem? Are they just, it sounds like they're keeping to themselves, just deeper than the other fish. So why do they become an issue?
So that's a very good question. So our job with our large vessel program, we have a fleet of vessels on each Great Lake, and my program's on Lake Superior. So we monitor both multiple fish populations, and deep water is another area. So what we notice with these emaciated fishes, it indicates a potential starvation event. So this could be natural due to food limitations. It's just a mass famine or starvation, but it also could be some disease. So normally we do see a few individuals in the population like that are unhealthy, but in recent years, and I was just reporting on a high frequency of them, so we're catching quite a few of them. So it indicates there's a potential issue down there. So one of our hypotheses is that it could be a natural starvation event. In deep water areas, there's very little food. So if you think of the deep water parts of the Great Lakes, it's like going to the top of Mount Everest or to the Arctic. And in those extreme environmental settings, food is very limited and the environment's very harsh. So these fish, these siskoet, these zombies, are actually over 1,000 feet where there's no light, high pressure, and very little food available. So, but if it is a disease event, we would want to know that because we don't want that to pass on to other populations. And then it could also be something related to man-made toxins or contaminants. And so this June, we're going to go back out there and to collect some more and assess both the fish health and look at contaminants.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. How do you even collect these when they're so far down? Do you send unmanned drones down there to collect, or how does that even work?
Actually, it's a very elegant, most minimalistic, simple thing that was developed by indigenous peoples is we use bottom gill nets. So these are basically like tennis nets you would set on the bottom of lakes. There's a misperception that gill nets kill all fish. They do not. The fish became entrapped in them and they get caught on it. And for certain species, they do get gilled. And that's when fisheries are trying to harvest them for food. But it is a very effective sampling tool that's simple. So we deploy these gill nets on the bottom and the fish swim into them and then we bring them up. And that way we can get an idea on the abundance levels. But we also look at other things for fish health, and we look at their tissues, and then we're also able to age the fish, too, from some of the tissues.
Is this just a Lake Superior issue because of its depth, or are you finding these in other large bodies of water?
This is only in Lake Superior, and the only area that we've been noticing this is north of Munising, northwest of Picture Rocks, in very deep waters, about 30 miles north of Munising.
Cool. Anything else that you'd like to mention that we haven't discussed?
Nope. So this is just this could be just a natural thing we see, similar to fish kills that occur in the spring. It's just this may be a famine event, but we're taking actions to make sure that it's not something more troublesome.
As researchers dive into the zombie fish conundrum in Lake Superior, the work of other researchers is hitting the market in the form of smart glasses that could change the way we all see the world. Stay tuned after the break to hear about them and a peek into the world of the Oz Museum in this Wizard of Oz-themed Weird News Roundup. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. We're going down the yellow brick road on this week's Wizard of Oz-themed roundup. In the first book from Frank Albaum's Oz book series, Dorothy and her companions are given spectacles when they arrive in Emerald City. They're told that those glasses will protect them from the brightness and wonder of this metropolis. We won't give any spoilers about what Dorothy and her friends eventually find out about those glasses. Instead, we'll tell you about new pairs of real-life glasses that might have seemed magical just a few decades ago. Apple's new smart glasses now join Meta's and other technologically advanced specs to hit the market in recent years. News anchor Holly Kwan of Odyssey station KCBS Radio in the Bay Area noted that Apple is also releasing new AirPods and a pendant with a camera along with these new glasses. She spoke with Bloomberg's Mark Gurman all about this new tech on the Bloomberg Tech and Business Report this week.
Let's start with the glasses. You tried them out. Do you like them?
No, have not tried them out yet. These are not going to be announced probably until next year, but we do have some new details on them. Apple is working on four different styles, a bunch of new colors. The idea is to compete with Meta and their popular glasses with a range of options that they consider a bit higher end. These will tap into Siri, the new version coming out later this year as part of the new iOS and being introduced formally in June. They'll tap into computer vision cameras, which will scan the environment around you to give context for AI and some cloud-based processing. And like you said, the glasses are part of a trio of new wearables that Apple has been working on, also including AI AirPods with low-resolution IR cameras and also a pin that you can put on your shirt or also wear as a pendant around your neck like a necklace.
That has a camera in it?
The pin, the glasses, and the AirPods would all have cameras in it, and the idea would be that it could analyze and take action on your surrounding environment. So, for instance, if you're doing turn-by-turn directions, it could see ahead of you and tell you what to turn past versus telling you how many feet or yards to walk past. You can have it do visual reminders. So right now you can tell your voice assistant to remind you to do something at a certain time or when you arrive to a certain place by the fact that it knows the time and it also knows your location. But now what if it could understand what you're looking at and remind you to do things when you're looking at something? So, for instance, if you're in the pasta aisle at the grocery store, you could have it remind you to buy a certain thing that you're looking for in that aisle when it recognizes where you are visually.
Makes me feel like I don't have to think at all. I just kind of get a little bit nervous when I think there are other people, you know, with glasses and necklaces and things on them that might have cameras that I don't know about.
It's definitely a concern, and there's definitely a high bar that needs to be crossed for people to be comfortable with these things being worn out and about. Given that this is an Apple product, you're going to see probably a tremendous amount of purchases for this product, way more than you're seeing for Meta, even though their sales have been extremely strong to date, contextually for the market. And so the bar is going to be very high for Apple to sell the public on why they should be comfortable wearing these things and why they should be comfortable or why people who are not wearing them should be comfortable being around people who are wearing them. And so definitely looking forward to seeing whatever story Apple tells around there.
Well, it sounds like they are going to look like Ray-Ban Wayfarers, which, you know, in itself makes me feel like I think that's kind of cool and I might want one. But I'm wondering about the price point.
Yeah, in terms of price point, these are probably going to be a bit higher end than what you're seeing from, you know, Meta and some of the other providers. These are going to have some pretty expensive computer vision cameras in there, and they're going to be using materials like acetate, which are found in some of the more higher end glasses brands. So you're probably looking at a price point north of $500, just guessing, for these, given the inclusion of these higher-end components. The Metas start around $200, $300, but I expect these to be at least a couple hundred dollars more.
Remind me when we might see these on the market.
So the initial plan was to introduce these before the end of the year and release them early next year. But with everything going on in the manufacturing space right now, everything going on when it comes to memory and other shortages from that level and everything else going on in the world, would not be surprised if these don't get introduced and released until 2027.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether it's, again, it's one of those you try and sell it for Christmas and then the shipping of it gets put off until for another 6 months.
Ideally, you would want to see these introduced before the end of the year. from an Apple marketing standpoint, the idea would be these get announced, and from their perspective, no one else buys the competing products, and they wait for the Apple product. But they do have to be close enough to shipping. If they're going to introduce these, let's say September or October, this is not something that can really launch beyond March, April timeframe. So we'll have to see.
And now we've reached our final destination, the Oz Museum. Kelly and Bob Phillips out of Odyssey Station KRLD 1080's Own the Road with Kelly and Bob podcast recently visited the museum, where a collection of Oz artifacts and history brings in patrons from all around the world. They got a grand tour of the collection with curator Chris Glasgow.
Kelly and I realized, well, we're not in Kansas anymore.
One of my sons happens to live here in Manhattan, Kansas, and they had just finished setting up their basement as kind of a mini apartment, so they suggested I come stay with them while I looked for work. So I did. I came with them for a while, looked for work, and I'd been here about a month, and I heard about the Oz Museum.
She also explained a bit about what makes this Oz experience so unique.
There are other museums that have small sections dedicated to, say, L. Frank Baum or to Judy Garland or to the 39 film. But our goal here is to open people's minds to the whole history of Oz. Everything from 1856 with the birth of the author, all his influences, all the jobs and things that he had. Kind of sounds like me, lots of jobs. That led up to his writing, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and it being published. And then, of course, he was the first one to put it on stage in 1902 and 1903. He was the first one to put it on film in 1910. And then leading to other films in the 19-teens before his death in 1919. So we want to explore that story and let people know that the 39 film is a wonderful film and we appreciate it so much, but it's not the beginning or the end of the story. If they actually spend any time here and start looking at things, they always come out, well, I didn't know that. Well, I was surprised at that. And it's amazing what they learn. Even if all they learn is that there was more than one book, there's actually 40 books in the series. The first 14 were written by Baum himself and then continued by Ruth Plumly Thompson. And if they learn that, whoa, there's more than one book. Oh, the movie didn't start it. Oh, they come out very surprised, even if they learn one thing. And to me, that's what makes it a museum important. If I can go into a museum and I can come out with a better understanding on one thing, I feel it's well worth the time, the money, the effort I spend. And I hope other people feel that way too.
Visit the Oz Museum in Kansas, and unless you are already some kind of Wizard of Oz expert, you will come away knowing things you never expected.
And it's not just about the famous 1939 film, with lots of stuff about the cast, the wardrobes, even the working conditions. It's about all of L. Frank Baum's writings and the plays and movies that have come from them.
We came away from our visit thoroughly entertained and a little bit amazed at how much we did not know.
Okay, first thing you generally see is walk through the tornado and you're in Munchkinland.
Why Munchkinland?
Well, because that's where Dorothy first starts her adventure. The tornado brings her to this alternate universe and she starts her adventure in Munchkinland, being met, of course, by Munchkin ladies, and there's the mayor of Munchkinland there. And her house, of course, squishing the witch, the Wicked Witch of East.
And there are the iconic ruby slippers.
Yes. And you'll notice over here, since she's now dead, the slippers are now on her feet. Then we talk a little bit about the Munchkins, who they are, what they were like, pictures of their size. Like you have the very smallest Munchkin there. She was under 3 foot tall. Her name's Olga Nardone, which we have a whole case on her. And then the tallest Munchkin, who was 4'7". They couldn't be taller than that because they had to be shorter than Judy Garland, who was only 4'9" at age 15.
You can listen to the full episode of their trip to the Oz Museum by checking out the On the Road with Kelly and Bob podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by the Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, KCBS Radio in the Bay Area, and of course, On the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas. You can find these programs and the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintained in the letter X.com/AI.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback. Made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims. You know that feeling when you're standing in the grocery aisle staring at a wall of plastic-wrapped chicken and gray-looking ground beef? For years, that was my routine. I'd grab whatever looked fine enough, toss it in the cart, and then spend the rest of the week trying to season the life back into it because it was just bland. But then I tried Omaha Steaks, and it completely flipped my script on quality. The first time I pulled a vacuum-sealed steak from my freezer, I realized I'd been settling for store grade when I could have had steakhouse grade. It's the ultimate convenience. I don't deal with the what's-for-dinner panic anymore because I have a custom plan delivered right to my door on my schedule. No more food waste from forgotten fridge meat, just high-quality proteins ready to go. Plus, it's a risk-free move. They have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code T-Bone at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone. Terms apply. See site for details.